Welcome to the Luxentis Show, where I share tips on how to create and lead successful people-centric organizations. Hi, I'm Jocelyn Moriners, CEO of Luxentis, a leadership and team training company offering at-your-pace online courses and implementation-style workshops. Make sure to check out our website for available courses and download the top 5 reasons businesses struggle to attract and retain top talent and what to do about it. Now, if we're to believe social media / the internet, then when we find our true calling, when we follow our real passion, when we are fully aligned, then running our own business our way, there will be no such thing as work. It's all going to be bliss, successes, and an embarrassment of riches. Well, I am just going to go ahead and pop that little balloon. Because truly, like running a business, yes, it should be mostly amazing. It should be mostly fulfilling. But unfortunately, there will always be parts that just plain suck. No matter how aligned and fulfilled and joyful and all the things that work is for you, there will always be part that are just plain draining. So, what could entrepreneurs do when they are faced with tasks that they find incredibly draining? The obvious first thing, see if there's anything that can be responsibly delegated. Obviously, if there's something that you truly dislike doing that can be delegated, then hey, that would be wonderful. But there are times when you really can't delegate. And there are times when we just think that we truly can't delegate. And when we're not sure, or we're kind of so overwhelmed that we're having trouble seeing one for the other, take a moment to talk to an assistant or something. If there's someone that you trust a lot on your team, or if you have an amazing assistant, talk to them for a little bit of perspective. They may be able to recognize that, hey, you know what? Like this thing that you think you can't delegate, well, this portion can be. So try that, see what happens. There may be also, and maybe somebody else can help point that out, especially if you have maybe like developers on your team or somebody who's really strong with software and that kind of stuff. They may be able to point out what can be automated. There are a lot of tools. There's a lot of software out there that automate tasks, streamline repetitive tasks. And we're not always on top of what is out there. There's so much out there. And it seems like every day I hear about this new thing that does this new automation thing. It's like, hey, that's great, but I do have an actual full-time job. So I don't have time to be spending researching all these things. So if you have someone in your network on your team whose job it is to stay on top of those things, talk to them. Maybe they'll be like, oh yeah, there's this thing that you could do, and you can just, you know, use this plugin, and then boom, your task that took 11 hours is now going to take you 2. And I've actually seen that. And that was actually through custom coding, but that's a whole other thing. But it is possible. And so if you're doing this repeatedly and it might be worth the investment, then look into that. It might even just reduce the time to the point where it feels less draining. Because if you're looking at this task that you really dislike and it takes, let's say, 11 hours as my example. Well, if you can do it, get it, rid of it in 3 hours, then that's going to make it a lot less draining. And you may have noticed at the beginning, I said responsibly delegate. Again, because there are some tasks that really shouldn't be delegated. Bottom line is, if you're an entrepreneur, you need to keep an appropriate pulse on your business. And there is that risk that if you delegate too much, you may not know what's going on in your own business. And that could lead to make strategic decisions that are actually detrimental to the organization. So make sure that you're not overly delegating, because I know I've also seen, I'm not going to name which books, but I've seen some particular books where it's like, yes, delegate everything that you do. And then you just think, yeah, okay. Hey, if you're all for that, go for it. It's just not part of my leadership philosophy. I'm more of a transformational leader. And if you're going to be an impactful transformational leader, then you need to be around. So just, I'm going to say quasi no judgment. Hey, you know, everybody has their own journey. So you do you, I'll do me. And that works for us. But this is my own philosophy, that I think that there are some things that really shouldn't be delegated, that you really need to stay on top of what's going on in your business if you're going to make the appropriate decision for the organization and the team members. And let's say it is this instance, you absolutely cannot delegate that task, but it is absolutely dreadful. You like every second spent on it feels like an hour. Well, can you maybe co-work with someone? And I've seen this work extremely well. Just having someone there can help. Like in the example I'm thinking of, this person was just dreading doing this thing, but it was necessary that they did it. And just having the other person there, and the other person was working, but now and again going, hey, I'm really stuck on this thing. Could you give me a little bit of perspective on this? Talk for 5 minutes. Yeah. All right. Got unstuck. Continue on. And then a couple of those sessions and it was done. So if you're in that kind of situation, think about doing that, about co-working with someone on your team. Maybe there's another leader that is in a similar position, or who knows, all kinds of options, but consider that. So another thing, another tip, what could you do? Break up those draining tasks. If they're really large, it can feel super overwhelming. And you're just looking at this thing that you really don't like doing, that's going to take forever. And that's really not motivating you. Because you're just like, oh man, I really don't want to do that. I'll try to break those tasks into small, manageable steps and celebrate the progress as you know, complete one part, like, woohoo, I did that. All right, yay. And depending on where you are, I don't know if you're broken into 20 steps and you're like, one down, 19 to go. But it might be motivating at the same time just to maybe have the little steps and go, whoosh, scratch one off. You know, you write them on the chalkboard, you know, like one, two, one, make those bars like one, 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 one. And as you scratch one, scratch off that one, scratch off that second one. It might feel good. I don't know. And I like doing that. I'm one of those people who likes checking off, you know, when I have a task. Chook. So if you're that kind of person too, then maybe that might help, just to be like, yes, done. Another thing as part of breaking it down, just breaking it down into smaller chunks to getting through it, set a timer, like the famous Pomodoro, or do whatever you want, like in terms of timer. But if it's really, really draining, first of all, close everything and focus. For whatever amount of time. Let's say you set it for 20 minutes. So you say 20 minutes, that's it. I am jumping in, doing this really horrible thing for 20 minutes. Just get it moving. And I say close everything and focus because I'm the first culprit, right? All of a sudden, I remember, quote unquote, oh yeah, I really should be returning that phone call. You know what? I'm going to get do this right away. It's really a good time now. I really should do this right away. Or, Oh, I haven't looked into that that particular that grant for our product. I should do that right now. Or oh, yes, I remember that I should be reviewing this particular thing. I'm going to do that. No. You spend those 20 minutes on that one thing. That's it. That's all. Close it. Use only what you need. Like, hopefully you don't need Google or anything because, ooh, look at that. That's interesting. Clickety, clickety, clickety. Your 20 minutes are gone and you haven't done anything. So close stuff, focus. And I like 20 minutes when it's something I really dread because it doesn't seem so long. Normally, when I do something like a Pomodoro, I do 50 minutes and then a 10-minute break because I find that like it's too short. But if it's something I really dislike, 50 minutes, I'm like, oh, that's a long time. So 20 minutes just kind of gets me going. And sometimes I find that, hey, okay, once I'm going, it's not that bad. I'll keep going. But at least if I kind of force myself to do that 20, psychologically, it doesn't feel like it's a super long time and just kind of gets me going in the right direction. And so when you get to, let's say, your 10 minutes, using my example, reward yourself with something. Any little thing that you can do to re-energize yourself in that 10 minutes. Maybe you re-energize yourself by listening to a song you really like, by taking a little walk around wherever, by doing whatever that you feel like. Just get up, change your mind, do something just to re-energize yourself a little bit. One of the things by allocating specific time slots for tasks that you find draining, it will really push you to get them done. Because if you don't put it in there, it'll just get bumped and bumped by other things. So just put it in there and get to it. And one of the things too is that knowing that you only have to work on it for a defined period, like I said, like in my example, this 20 minutes, it really feels a lot less overwhelming, which is why I like to go shorter so that psychologically it feels like, okay, it's not that long, I'll do it. Something else that I find really helpful when I'm doing this is I try to group similar tasks together and kind of allocate a specific time block to work on them. And so this kind of helps me focus in the sense that I'm not constantly context switching. So if they're associated, if it's like the thing that's super draining, it's broken into these tasks, but this thing is associated to this other thing, I may block them together. It may sound like, what are you doing? You're just making it longer. Yes. And if I just do like the 20 minutes, 10 minute, 20 minutes, 10 minute break, 20 minutes, 10 minute break, it helps go through it. And if I actually do end up being on a roll, then I can just continue on because I don't need to be stopping, context switching, and all that. So it helps not to look at it as this big giant block, but it does help if you kind of say, okay, if I end up through that going through this, I will also go through these ones as well because they're associated. Now, this other tip, a little bit difficult, but it's doable, but difficult. Try to change your mindset about it. You're like, what? No, they're terrible. And I know, I get it. I get it. But if you can do it, even just temporarily, you can't forever change your mind about it. Let's say it's something that you really, really don't like. I'm not saying try to suddenly find them magical and wonderful. No, but if you can temporarily trick yourself into finding them less dreary, then it can help. And one of the tricks is to define a clear goal for each of the tasks, the desired outcome, but also have a clear sense of purpose. Like, why am I doing this? What are the consequences of me not doing them? What impact is it going to have on revenue, people? Something, if it's like a compliance, just say I'm using compliance because that I like compliance is one of the worst things for me. Compliance, and some people love it, which is great, I'm not one of them. When I have to fill out those forms, they're long, especially when they, improve them, quote unquote, audits, improving the audits. And last time I did one, it was just terrible. It was supposedly improved and it took me like three times as long because I couldn't figure out what they meant. Some of the options didn't work like it used to. Clearly it was version one of this new improvement. But yeah, I had some feedback, let's just say. When you're doing that and you get a sense of why you're doing them, for example, like the compliance in my example, like if I don't do it, the organization is going to get fined. So it's going to be not good for the organization and we're going to be spending more money on this thing. So no, thank you. So if there are some reasons that can be like, okay, I really recognize the importance of doing this, let's just get it over with. I'm not saying you're going to love it, but it kind of helps in making them a tad bit less draining because you recognize just how important this task is. Something else that I kind of find helpful is that just to try to make it feel different, maybe do the work elsewhere. And I try when I really, really dread something, sometimes a change of scenery makes it feel less draining. And it can be like moving to a different workspace, adjusting the lighting, putting on some background music. Personally, I don't like working with background music. I find it too distracting. I end up just listening to the music. But if you're one of those people who can do that, and I know several people who have no problems having music while they're working, then it can help motivate you a little bit and make it feel less draining. And I know that no changing workspaces, it doesn't have to be necessarily going to the coffee shop. Like it can be, but it can just be going outside. I know I have like some chairs that I set up outside. And when I really get tired of being inside the office, I'm like, no, I don't want to do this thing. And all I'm doing is just finding excuses to not do it. So I'm going to go sit in those chairs. And just changing the environment, suddenly it doesn't make the task fun. Let's not exaggerate here, but it makes it like, okay, all right, well, let's do it. I can't explain it, but it is a trick that has helped. Something else that might help is combining a draining task with something that you enjoy. And that can be, again, like I gave the example of listening to music. That can be really helpful. It could be, I saw someone who had like this little kind of walking treadmill, and another person had like this little cycling thing. And then another person had like this ball that they sat on. Another one like took out their little favorite, I don't want to say toy, but stuff like I have a Grogu, a little, I still call it Baby Yoda, but I have one of those and just kind of take it out and just having the kind of looking at me makes me smile, right? And so maybe having something like that also kind of changes how you feel because it's also tapping into something that makes you smile while you're doing something that really doesn't make you smile. So that can help sometimes too. Another thing that can help is preparing some form of reward for yourself when it's completely done. And that's a tricky one because I try to keep it healthy because otherwise it's always going to be like, ooh, ice cream, ooh, a treat, I deserve that chocolate bar. So no, I don't do that. But try to do something maybe a little bit healthy for you. So I tried to replace those by, for instance, walking outside. It's like, okay, once I'm done this thing, you know what? I'm going to go and take a nice, pleasant walk just to breathe in the air, just shed the thoughts and just enjoy the outdoors. And so I find that really helps. I'm not talking like exercising. I'm just saying just strolling is even super helpful in helping just getting rid of that stuff inside the head and the stressors. Or another thing could be if you enjoy video games, like I do, play like 30 minutes. You say, once I'm done this thing, I'm going to reward myself and I'm going to play for 30 minutes. set a timer because you don't want to get lost, especially if you're playing a game like Tears of the Kingdom, where it's like, oh, wow, has it already been 3 hours? So no, set a timer because, hey, you are working. This is just a reward for doing a terribly draining task. Or, you know, read something, I'm going to say fluffy or funny article, something, just to kind of change the headspace. So having that in mind that, hey, once I'm done this, I'm going to get to do that. I find that that's really helpful. So in my experience, I have found that there is an unrealistic expectation that every day is going to be enjoyable when we are in, quote unquote, the right place. And that is causing a lot more unhappiness than necessary. There will be parts that we dislike immensely and dread when those tasks come around. But the sooner we get rid of them, the sooner we get to move on to something we actually do enjoy. So try various strategies, see what works for you in getting those draining tasks checked off as done. I hope this episode helped generate ideas and potential solutions. If you know someone who could use this message today, please make sure to share it with them. And if you're feeling particularly generous, why not rate and review wherever applicable? I'd really appreciate that. So thank you for listening, and let's all continue working on creating and leading successful people-centric organizations.